1 Corinthians 15, verse number 25. We talked about that threefold or three-part first resurrection. And it's likened unto a harvest. We kind of talked about that a little bit. And verse 25 says, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." The last enemy, verse 26, that shall be destroyed is death. Alright, so one of these days, the Lord is going to reign and he's going to put every single enemy under his feet.
That's right, brother.
Now, you know what? The lake of fire, one of these days, you're going to go through a 1,000-year millennial reign. At the end of that millennial reign, the devil's going to be loosened for a little season, and the Lord's going to destroy the devil and all those that follow him at that last battle. And then you're going to have the great white throne judgment. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to culminate in this right here. All his enemies, every one of them, through all out ages, are going to be underneath his feet burning. And the last thing that's going to be destroyed is death. Once that millennial reign's over, and once the great white throne judgment's over, once you go out into eternity, the age of ages, it's going to be no more death.
That's right.
No more death at all. Now that's something there that's foreign to us. Why? Because everything dies here. Flowers, they start up, flowers are going to die. Those trees right now, here we are still in summertime, but it won't be long. The leaves will start falling off the trees. And you know what that is? It's showing you that things die. Why? That's what springtime, life comes back again, and it shows you that cycle there. You know what we're all doing? If the Lord don't come back and get us, every one of us is headed for the grave. And you know what? That's painful. But one day, the last thing's going to be death. That's the enemy there that man can't conquer. But you know what? You got to get in Christ to be able to conquer. Man's got a major problem. You know what people are trying to do? They can say what they want to, but they're trying to keep from dying. That's why you got all this age defined. We saw a commercial one time, and it said age defined makeup for women. Well, you might be able to cover it up, but it's still there. You're going to age. You know? And the thing is, so many of these people, like these real smart people, they're trying to merge with machines, and before long they're going to have robot arms and robot legs, and you're still going to die. You're not going to cheat death. No matter what they do, they're not going to cheat death. Why? Because you've got to come through Jesus Christ to get everlasting life. Jesus said, "I am the way." Alright, that's going to be at a future date. He's going to put down all of them. For verse 27, "For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him." Verse 28, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all."
Amen.
That's talking about way out there in the ages. And I tell you, this is one of those verses here. When I say I don't completely understand a thing, I'll tell you. Y'all, there's things that's going to go out in the ages that we just can't even understand. And maybe somebody else knows what's going to happen out there, but I know this right here. You're going to see things. This isn't all here. You know, you'd said that in the devotion. But y'all, in the age of ages, you're going to go out there and see things out in eternity that our mind can't even wrap around right now, that has to do with God Himself. And as far as God being all in all, I don't completely understand that. Some people think, well, the Son's going to go into the Godhead, and it's just going to be the Godhead out there. Some people say it's just going to be all wrapped up in the Son. I don't know, but I know this right here. I know enough to know that there are things out there that we can't understand now, because there are things out in eternity out there we're just going to keep seeing and seeing and seeing. Why? He's going to reveal things to us out there. Ephesians chapter 2 says that he's going to show us things that we just can't even understand.
That's right.
And I wish I had that exact verse. I better tell you that, because I hate to quote something and just leave it. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. There's ages to come. You know, that's what we forget. Right now, we've got this thing going on in the church age. Before long, we're going to get raptured out of here. I hope I lived through the rapture. I hope every one of us lived through that. But regardless, God's going to get us out of here. And while we're up there at the judgment seat of Christ, the great tribulation is going to be going on down here. Then we're going to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ, reign 1,000 years with Him. Satan's going to get put. We're going to see all that. We're going to see Satan get defeated for the last time there. And then we're going to see the great right throne judgment. And then we're going to go way out in the ages. And y'all, that ought to be exciting sometimes. Sometimes when life gets boring, you know, you get thinking, the old flesh side. See, the flesh knows it's going to the ground. And the flesh, you get to thinking, man, look at this right here. I'm not getting to do this. I'm not getting to do that. Another thing. Look, this isn't all. I'm just getting started, man. I mean, I hadn't even got started good yet. Well, because I've still got to end this chapter here of my life and get on into my new body and everything else. And man, we got all kinds of things. And y'all, we got so much to look forward to. But you, when you read that Bible there and you read verses like this, I think, my, what's it going to be like at being 10,000 years old? And not having a... Now, I wouldn't want to live 10,000 years in this body right here. That'd be like hell without the fire. Because you just had to put up with myself all the time, this old sinful body. And man, you imagine that. But y'all, one of these days, you'll be able to... Every thought will please the Lord. That's what I'm waiting on. Verse 29, else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Now, you got some morons. What they do is, they teach... Did I say morons or Mormons? Mormons. 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 We was aggravating here a little while back. And I'm not going to get into that. The Mormons teach, and they'll baptize people for dead folks. And y'all, that's not what this verse is teaching. All right, let's look and see. You got chapters. This your Bible is in a layout for one thing, for simplicity. You ever notice if you got a Bible, it's in two columns. It's not written like any other book. Why? And it's got verse marking. You can take a little bit at a time. Why? You learn line upon line, precept upon precept. You learn a little bit here. Y'all, it's better to read two verses and chew on it a little while, then just read 50 and say, man, I read 50 verses today. Or I read 10 chapters today. Look, the Bible's set up like it where you're taking a little bit at a time. And then it's in chapters. So what we do is, he said, baptized for the dead. So what we do is go back in this chapter and see what he's talking about here. If you will, let's look at some context here. Look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians verse 12. It says, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Alright, well there's a reference for to the dead in that chapter. And it's just talking about anybody that's dead, a resurrection of the dead. Well, dead's just anybody dead. Look at verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? It's just dead. They say, look, if the dead here are not, if dead people couldn't be raised, what are we talking about? All right. Now look at verse number 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So there's a reference to the dead. Verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Now look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Now everybody's going to die. Saved folks and lost folks are going to die. Right? So what do we have a reference here? Anybody is referring to anyone who ever died. Alright, because he's saying the dead rise not. When the dead rise not, everybody from that point, from the resurrection back, has died. Nobody has came back from the dead other than Christ. Now there's been people Christ resurrected, or God resurrected in the Old Testament, but they died again. Christ is the only person who ever got resurrected never to die again. He's the first person to ever do that. So you got to get in Christ to be able to do that. All right, but these references here in the context have been referencing to someone who was dead. So the thing is he's saying this right here. Why are they then baptized for the dead? All right. So what are we saying? Whenever you get baptized, You know what you're saying? You're putting somebody down, or we're putting somebody down. They died. They're buried, just like everybody else who unless God intervened on that thing, they've been died, they've buried. You're just like all them. But guess what? You're going to rise again. Y'all, baptism is more of a picture. Yes, as far as individually, I have died, I'm dead with Christ, I was buried, my old man's buried, and I came up. But guess what? It's a picture also to the dead. Not only to people who've been dead, but y'all, you know what the Bible says? You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. If somebody else were to come in this congregation here and sit down and they're dead in trespasses and sin, and somebody got... that's why whenever somebody gets saved, we put them under water. Why? It's showing, hey, this person has died. His old man has died. He's buried, but guess what? He's going to rise again. Not only is he raised in newness of life, when one day his body is going to come out of the ground. That's what that baptizing for the dead is. It don't have nothing to do with saving somebody who's already dead or getting baptized for them. Look, you get baptized on an individual basis. Why? Because you got to realize something there. That whenever you're baptized, and this thing's talking about being baptized for the dead, you're saying that corpse is dead, just like everybody else, and it's going to come up. One day, y'all, the dead bodies are going to rise.
That's right.
One of these days, those graves are back there. This cemetery right here is going to bust wide open, man, and they're going to come popping out of there. And you talking about something supernatural. People think we crazy. I'll tell you something. Those people out there that think that they can believe that someone came from a frog and they was a tadpole beginning to begin and all that stuff and had their tail tucked in, and then they went from a monkey in a bananaran tree and now they're a professor in a college with a PhD. That's what they believe. Look, it takes more faith for me to believe that than it does that God created and God can give life, God can take life, and God can raise bodies from the dead one day. He's going to. And it's no problem at all. No problem for God at all. The Bible says He made the stars also.
That's right.
Wasn't even a big deal at all. Why did he didn't even waste two or three words on that thing? He just made stars also. Made stars? You mean to tell me that these great big old balls of fire out there, whatever, I don't know, that's what scientists say they are, but who knows? But they're great, they're huge, they're larger than this earth they're the thought about being, and he just made them too. Just spit them out. You think Mario, Super Mario, could spit out fireballs? The Lord can spit them out and spread them all over the universe.
That's right.
Man, that's the God we serve. He's going to raise us from the dead. Now, this is something, he's leading to something. Verse 30. Right. Why are they baptized for the dead? Why are we doing this anyway? We're showing something. Verse 30, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? He's asking questions here. If the dead's not going to rise, all this stuff's not real, why are we in jeopardy all the time? Why are we putting our lives on the line? Y'all, we're putting our lives on the line because it's real. Look, I've told you this before, but if I didn't believe this was real, I would go get another job and work all the time, make a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
Why is that? What else is there in life to do other than eat and drink and be merry? He's going to say that later. Look, this life don't have any meaning other than get all you can all you get and sit on the can if God is not real.
Right.
But God real, he's saying, hey, he's real. That's why he says over here, I protest, verse 31. By your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Now you got two deaths. You got everybody's got two deaths.
That's right.
All right. You got number one, that's your doctrinal death. Now, that's going to be found in Romans chapter 6. I believe it's verses 1 through 6. Your doctrinal death. I want to read these verses to you just so you'll have them. You got two deaths. Christian does. A lost person got two deaths. You know what? Christian got two deaths. But it's not the same. We got a doctrinal death and a practical death. The lost person is going to have two deaths. They're going to die. Their spirit's dead now. And their body's going to die and be dead, but their soul's going to die forever. So that's why they call it the second death. Why? Because that one there really matters.
Yes, it does.
And Romans chapter 6, here's our doctrinal death. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. See, look, I don't teach you get saved and do however you want to. But I teach this right here, you'll lose rewards and everything else. Paul's saying, what shall we say? You're going to continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, don't do that. But at the same time, y'all, you got to realize you got eternal security in Christ, and what you do, your salvation don't depend on what you do, but what's been done on the cross. Because I can tell you this, if salvation depended, I'm not trying to be mean about it, but if salvation depended on our works, every one of us would bust hell wide open. My dog would go in. Why is that? Because my dog wags his tail and he don't wag his tongue. That's why he's got so many friends. And you know what we do? We wag our tongue all the time. And look, I would go to hell on the basis of what I say, if nothing else. Why, all God's got to do is just pull up a record and say, the other day you said this, another day you said, you believe you said that, I can't believe you said that. Look, go to hell. And you know what? I wouldn't be able to say nothing about it. But you know what I do? I say, yeah, I know that, and I said that, and more, and probably thought about saying more than that right there, but I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Now, here's your doctrinal death. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why? Well, I'm not living in sin. We say, well, so-and-so's living in sin. If he's saved, he's not. Why? Because his flesh may be sinning. My soul cannot sin. It's washed. It's cut away. There's two types of Christian. A carnal Christian, and you got a Christian living for the Lord. A lot of Christians just get carnal. And you know what? If you get away from that book, you get away from prayer, and you get away from fellowship with the believers, you get carnal. Real quick, too. It says this, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, not water baptism, spirit baptism. Water can't put you into Christ. These people are so crazy. No, it says, we're baptized, watch this, into His death. Your doctrinal death. His death is attributed to me. Now, because His death was attributed to me, He rose again, and His life is attributed to me. He died, I died. He rose, I rose.
Yeah.
Up from the grave, He rose. Guess what? Because He rose up from the grave, I'm going to rise one day. Man, that's what I'm talking about. Why? Because I need that. I can't get up from the grave without somebody who's already gotten up from the grave.
He said, brother.
We don't know where thou goest. He said, y'all know the way. And he said, and Christ told him over in John 14, the way, you know. Thomas said, ah, we don't know where you're going. I don't know the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I don't know how to rise from the dead. Christ knows how to rise from the dead. I'm in Him, and He'll show me how to do it. He'll say, you just follow my word. If it's thou bid me come. Guess what? Peter walked on water because he was walking on the word of God. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to rise on the word of God. That's what we'll do. Doctrinal. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as...
Amen.
It's not water. Why? He says like as.
Christ.
Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so.
Amen.
See, like and so. As and so. We also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Why? Because I've got a new life on the inside of me.
Right.
It's an inside thing. It says, for if we have been planted inside, planted together in the likeness of His death. See, that's just a likeness thing. We shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Verse 6, for the number of man. Knowing this, that our old man, that's the sixth word in that verse, man. Why is that? Is crucified. Christ, a man, was crucified for me. With him. It says that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know what? My body, this body of sin, this flesh, is destroyed.
Right.
Why? I don't have to serve sin anymore.
That's right.
He said, I don't sin willfully. But you do every time you sin. Why? Because this body is destroyed, and you can tell the Lord yes, or you can tell the body yes. You got the choice now.
Amen.
You know what? That's my doctrinal death. Now back in 1 Corinthians 15, here's your other death. You got a death, you have to do this. Watch Paul. This is a practical. This is why it's practical. You have to put it in practice.
Right.
It's a choice. He says this right here. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ, Jesus our Lord. I die daily.
Amen.
That's practical. You got to put that in practice. I'm already dead doctrinally because I'm with Christ and I've risen the newness of life with Christ. But this right here, you have to die. That. Why? A corpse can't die and keep dying. What he's saying, you got to die daily. Why? To yourself. You got to keep telling this old corpse no. Why? The corpse wants to do something, and you have to say no. So each day, you know how you can get rewards and serve the Lord and things like that? Is keep telling your corpse no in Christ, yes. Why? You've got a constant battle going on every day. Just like me. Why? Because I can tell you, I want to say things and I want to do things I know I'm not supposed to do, and I have to tell the flesh no, no, no. And we have to say no. Why? That we're living in a society now, they say, I just follow your feeling. Well, you'll follow them right down in the ditch. Alright, look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, this is something you need to know right here. I think this will help us. And why? Because I can tell you something. I used to think, I don't know, y'all are older than me, you may be telling me. I used to think, let's just say I was 18, and I thought, you know what, when I get 35, when I get 40, when I get 45, when I get 50, and I put them numbers on there now, you know, and I would say, it's going to be easy to serve the Lord. And I'd say, you know what, it'd be a whole lot easier not to sin if I was 20 years older than what I am. You know what I'm finding out? Now, I don't know how it is for y'all. It's hard for me turning down this corpse. Why? This corpse is getting older, and it's getting crankier, and it's getting to where it wants its way more than it did when I was younger.
Amen.
I thought, man, I'm young. No, I'm going to tell you something, man. Why? You get fed up with things.
Yeah, that's right.
You just get fed up. You get to seeing the same stuff all the time. You get to seeing this one right here, and you get to see somebody you never thought would do so-and-so, did so-and-so. You get to where, you know what's hard, and I don't know if it gets worse. Y'all may need to tell me. But it's hard not to get cynical and not to just say, never mind, man. You can't do it, though. Why? Because that's what your corpse wants to do. You know what? Dying is easy. It's easy to die. I could lay down in here and die, and that'd be easy. Why? Because I'd just go on and be with the Lord. But you know what? It's harder to live than it is to die.
Amen.
Right? Because Paul said, I die daily, so what do you have to do? How can I do this? Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5, you heard of a mortician. He says, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
That's
what covetousness is. A lot of people say, well, I'm not idolater like they used to be in the Old Testament. Okay, you watch those commercials long enough, and you know what commercials are geared toward? I took marketing in college. They're geared toward your covetousness. You ought to have heard that, Mark. I wish I had some of those marketing classes I took in college on film. Now, she was good now. She could tell you how to market. But every bit of it was geared on, you got to make them think that they have to have that product. And you know what the devil makes you think? You've got to have it. It's good. It's good now. That's real good food now. Isn't it pleasant to that? Don't you like to look at that? Isn't it make you wise, make you smart, make you smarter than anybody else you know? You've got to have that fruit. You get on that TV and you get to looking. And I'm not just TV, billboards, anything. I just use TV because it's an easy target. But you know what? The devil thinks you've got to have that. And you know what that thing will do? Something will strap you down.
That's right.
And you know what? Paul says you got to die every day, a little bit every day. Your old self, you have to tell it no, and you have to die off. Why? Because you got to renew the inward man.
That's right.
One of the hardest things for us to do as a Christian is live that sacrificial life. Now, I'm trying not to give my sermon away today, but that's something that's real hard for us to do. Because you know what? This flesh knows it's only here temporarily. And in the back of your mind, your flesh will say, yeah, but you only got so long. You're getting older now. You need to go ahead and do. And you know what you'd tell them? Hey, you're going to get older. Talking about old, you're going to turn to dust. Just remind it where it's going and say, hey, man, this is not all. Like Brother Mike was saying this morning, we have to realize and we have to remind ourselves that, man, I'm telling you something, if this life were all, we'd be of all men most miserable. Not only if Christ wasn't rose, we'd be miserable. I'm telling you something, if I thought that this life was all that there was, I'd be miserable. Why? Right. Because you just got ups and downs. We've got times we get to spend with our families, so that's up moments and things like that. But you know what? Most of life is just the drudgery of everyday things. You know what? If we don't get to where we can serve God in just the monotonous, everyday, day-to-day things, you won't serve Him. Why? Because most of life consists of just everyday, day-to-day, just routine things. We've got to get to where we can serve Him in the routine. Why? Die daily.
That's right.
All right, He says this. Verse 32, this is something we're going to have to do all the time. You may as well mark it down. If after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You know what he's saying? Why am I doing all this fighting? Why am I fighting with these people who are just like animals? They're just like animals. Jude calls them, I believe, brute beasts. You want to see where they're saying, beware a dog come from? You ever seen those signs? Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Hey, I'll tell you something. I've got a thing, and I've added about four or five other ones to it. But if you wonder where our common sayings come from, I wouldn't be scared to say 90% of our common everyday sayings that people use a lot come right from that Bible. I'm going to give you one in the sermon today, if the Lord lets me, that we use all the time. This one right here, I've seen, beware a dog, all the time. I saw one thing yesterday on a house I went and delivered some mail to, and it said, never mind the dog, beware the owner. I said, well. All right, look at Philippians chapter 3, verse number 2. It says, beware of dogs. Now what's he talking? He's not talking about a dog like a chow like I saw yesterday. He's not talking about that. He's talking about people. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the conceit. You know what we've got to do? Y'all, we've got to beware of dogs. You know what a dog does? They got some nasty habits. Now I got some dogs at the house. I like my dog. But at the same time, they got nasty habits. And you know what they'll do? A dog will do just about anything just to have itself pleased and have self-gratification. As long as you'll pet that dog, you'll do anything. Well, you know what? You've got a whole bunch of dogs that you have to watch out for in your everyday life. Why? Paul said, I had to fight with beasts, man. You know what you got people do? They'll talk bad about you. They'll cut your throat. They'll do anything they can do. If they're scared that it's going to hurt their reputation or something like that, they'll do it. They'll run you down. They wouldn't commit murder, but they'd murder your character.
Amen.
And you know what? That's one reason why this social media today, I tell you, now I know some people can use it for good. I've seen some people minister on it. But you know what? A lot of folks use that stuff for evil, and they get on there and run folks down and stuff like that. You know what? Evil communications, corrupt good manners. We're going to talk about that later on in the next verse. We'll talk about that next week. But you know what we have to do? We have to be the one that's not of that number.
That's
not of that number. Why are you fighting with beasts? I don't have time to go into all the beasts. We better close out, but